welcome to another episode of the Extraordinary Moms Podcast. I'm Jessica Dahlquist, your host, and every Tuesday I interview a different mom who shares their motherhood journey and the lessons they've learned along the way. If I've learned anything from interviewing such a wide range of moms, it's that no two extraordinary moms look the same. We all have a story to tell, and we are all mothering in our own way. So let's celebrate that and learn from one another. Thanks for listening, and if you like what you hear, please share the show with a friend. Good morning and welcome back to the podcast. It's Jessica. Thanks for tuning in to the Extraordinary Moms Podcast today. It is a pleasure to be with you on this Friday if you're tuning in on the day that it airs. Hope everyone's having a great summer. It's been a good week around here. But if you follow along with me on Instagram, you will know that my son Austin, my middle son, my five-year-old, he broke his arm. Well, he fractured his elbow, so he is in a cast. But thankfully, we only have one more day to go. It was only 10 days. I guess little bones heal quickly. And so we're very thankful for a 10-day cast span. We go in tomorrow. He gets it off. They re-x-ray it. And as long as it looks good, we're good to go. Hopefully that's the end of this saga. He just tripped at the park. It's one of those things where you just land wrong and you're like, no, go back in time just a little bit. But yeah, he's been a real trooper. But the only issue with it is his favorite thing to wear is long sleeves. He loves long sleeves, even when it is 95 degrees outside. And so when he got his cast on, he's like, how am I going to wear long sleeves? And I'm like, buddy, it's like 90 degrees outside. Why do you want to wear long sleeves? But we told him and convinced him very lovingly that tank tops were way cooler than long sleeves. And so we got him a couple tank tops that he's been wearing exclusively for the past 10 days. And, you know, I don't know, it'll be interesting to see once we get the cast off if he goes back to the long sleeves, because I think he's liking like the open armholes and the airy breeziness. I mean, who wouldn't? Love a good sleeveless muscle tank. So that's been what's been going on around here. Oh, and today, well, I'm recording this on Thursday. So when we air this on Friday, it'll be yesterday, was my son Jackson's second birthday. It is so crazy how fast those first 2 years go. I mean, 2 years ago, I was in a hospital in Virginia giving birth to a 9-pound, 14-ounce little chunker who came out totally bruised because of the pressure. And he had those little red rings around his eyes because it was like getting the bends coming out because he was just so huge. And it was just, let's just say it was a rough go. That's what happens when you have almost a 10-pound baby. But we love Jackson to pieces and we're just so grateful for our family. So happy birthday to baby Jackson. I'll always call him my baby. That's what you do when it's your youngest, I think. So I'm really excited for today's episode. I'm having a guest back that is one of your favorites. It's Mel Gunnell from Mel's Kitchen Cafe. You know I love her recipes more than anybody, and I'm excited to chat with her about what's been going on in her life and asking her the rapid-fire questions that I ask my revisit guests. So let's get to it with Mel Gunnell. All right, I want to welcome Mel back. Hi, Mel.
Hey.
I made your barbecue pork sliders, I think, the other day from your new ebook. Well, not so new anymore.
Yeah.
That is my favorite. And it freezes so well, too. I don't really love freezing stuff. It's not that desirable to me. But this, I just cut it in half, put it in a Ziploc bag, and I'm always so glad to be able to pull it out like a month later once we're ready for those flavors again and dinner's done.
I love that recipe.
So good.
Much. It's the balsamic. I don't know something about it that like really hits my taste buds.
I think it might be the balsamic.
I'm glad you liked it.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Love it so much. And I'll link to the ebook you came out with.
Thank you.
I think that was back, when was that? October, November?
It's actually been almost a year.
Oh, so, my gosh. Oh,
yeah,
well.
Really close to our year mark.
Time flies, I suppose.
I know.
You were first on the podcast on episode number 60, talking specifically about motherhood. And then on 71, you came back and talked about the new ebook that you had come out with. So if people want to reference that, episode 60 and 71. But for people that aren't familiar, I don't know why not, but you're Mel from Mel's Kitchen Cafe. You're my favorite food resource, and I just make
you're so, cute,
so many of your recipes, and it's just my go-to. So thanks for all you
Thank
do.
Thank you.
So what's been going on with you since we chatted last, Mel?
Well, you know, I don't know. Let's see. I could tell you the nitty-gritty of how many times I've cleaned my restroom since then, or all that exciting stuff. But you know what? I feel like life is just kind of plugging along. You know, I've had some fun things happen blogging-wise and had made some huge changes there. And, you know, then personally, of course, there's just always lots of stuff going on. We've taken a couple trips and kind of managing life. I have a new teenager. I don't know how that feels to other people, but where I always kind of like when people told me, oh, you know, the teenage years, I've always thought I'm going to be an amazing mom to teenagers, right? Sure. I've just thought that, like, I'm just going to be a good mom to teenagers. Yeah, not so much. I don't think that's working out for me so well. And I think if my 13-year-old is in the room, he would probably be like, can you go back and get some further training? Because this isn't. So, you know, it's just life like that. You know, it's funny how your life can't, like, I don't feel like my life is super adventurous and exciting, but I feel like there's always a lot going on. Does
sure.
that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And going back to your teenager comment, I think parenting a teenager is a whole different version of parenting. And so we should not expect ourselves to be super good at something we're just starting out at. So it's not
like, here's the thing, Jessica, what? Like, I'm going to mess up this child. No. I mean, by the time like my fifth teenager comes along, yeah, I'm going to know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. I'm a little worried. I mean, all the time, this is, I don't know. I don't even know if this is the right parenting style, but I will like sit down with him and say, I don't really know what I'm doing. So can we like talk through these kinds of things? You know, it's just the regular teenage stuff, like
sure.
the boundaries with screen time and, you know, just even like more independence and stuff like this. And I am naturally kind of more like a control my environment type of thing, which is why I've loved having little kids, because they do, you know, they don't always do what they're told, but it's very easy to control their environment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm learning that that's a hard thing for me to let go. So I always say to my son, I'm like, I don't really know what I'm doing. And I told him the other day, I said, let me just go ahead and tell you my pitfalls. These are the things that are hard for me. It's hard for me to let go. It's hard, you know, and he kind of looked at me like, okay, yeah, now that you've said those, like, can we just move on towards the changing part? And I'm like, I don't know. Talking to other parents, I don't know if you do this, but, you know, you talk to other parents about maybe their experiences. And I think that is really good and valuable. And I've gleaned a lot of good information over the years. But sometimes it gets to the point where it's not helpful because I feel like my teenager is not like their teenager. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or you can have, like, a three-year-old that's not like someone else's three-year-old, so I don't know. I'm praying a lot. And
sure. Well, and I think it's hard, too, that you're also trying to protect their privacy more as they get older, and so you're not kind of airing what you're going through as much. I mean,
exactly.
You know,
that's a good point.
It's loose talking about potty training and, you know, separation anxiety and things like that when they're 3 and 5 years old, but it's a different thing when they're, like, dealing with real tough sensitive stuff that you're
it's so true. I don't think I've hit that nail on the head till you just said that, but I think I am naturally a little bit protective of that, you know.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, want to be airing all the issues I have, and it's not bad stuff, it's
sure.
just regular teenage stuff. But you know, he goes to church with some of my friends, or he goes to school with some of his friends that I talk to their moms. You know, the last thing he needs is for them to know. And I do feel a little bit like, because it's the oldest, I'm also trying to protect my younger kids a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't want them to develop the same type of attitudes and, you know, too early. So it's fine. I realize, though, this is the year that Mel entered the mother of teenagers. That's how it will define my year, I think.
Well, and you just look like a teenager yourself. And so I'm sure you get a lot of looks like, okay, your son is getting as tall as you are. And
yeah, he is almost as tall as me, yeah. So.
It's a crazy ride. Well, I bet you're doing better than you think you are. I'll say that.
Well, thank you for saying that. Yeah. I will take that to heart. And hopefully that will be the case. But
just keep believing that.
As with all parents, I think we make mistakes and we do good things. I have to just rely on the fact that, I don't know, because I am a religious person, I always just think, I really am doing my best. I do a lot of things wrong. But I personally believe that Heavenly Father makes up that difference, you know, that
I do too.
Can't bridge that gap myself. So, you know, for what it's worth, I hope I don't rationalize with that, but.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I completely agree. And so one other aspect of your life that we actually have not covered at all on the podcast is your cancer scare and the surgery you had to have. Can we just talk a little bit about that, and how are you doing today?
Yeah, well, I'm doing really good right now. I just like a quick overview, a couple years ago, so it's been, I think it was 2015, I found a little spot on my nose, and I went into the doctor, the dermatologist, and actually probably would not have gone in except that my sister had some melanoma on her leg. So it was kind of my mom, you know, even though I'm an adult, I'm almost 40, she's like, get yourself into the doctor. So anyway, I went into the doctor, and it just kind of was one of those things where it was like, yeah, let's let's, I'd actually gone in for a spot on my back, actually, and it was pre-melanoma. They ended up taking, like, a big chunk out of it and, like, 15 stitches in my back. And while I was there, I said, hey, I have this spot on my nose. My dermatologist looked at it. And, you know, they are very trained in what they do. He knew immediately it was basal cell cancer. And so I ended up back there. For those familiar with skin cancer, really, the particular type of surgery I had, which is called Mohs surgery, they just will take a scrape. They'll scrape a layer of skin. And actually this time they will cut into the area, take it back to a microscope, and they do that until there's clean borders. So when you go into those types of appointments, I just was hopeful that it would be very minimal, and that I'd be out of there in, you know, an hour. Mine ended up being a little bit more invasive in the sense that it took them several times to get clean borders. And what that means is that area of my nose, they just kept cutting and cutting and cutting. And so, I was a little unprepared for that. In the end, in order to cover, so it's right where you would get like a nose ring. That's where it was on my face. Mm-hmm. That area, by the time they were done cutting, was about the size of a dime. So if you can imagine that area being on your nose and then having to cover that area up, I ended up with 30 stitches running up the side of my face, up through my eye area, my nose, in order to pull that skin down and cover it. So anyway, it was fairly traumatic from that sense of, you know, I'm a woman and I care about how my face looks. And I wasn't prepared for that. In fact, I had driven myself to that doctor's appointment and was not really probably in good shape to drive home. I didn't have a lot of choice. And so I did, but I have healed amazingly well. And I've done some posts on my blog about skin cancer in general, and you know, I get a lot of comments about how well my face is healed, and I am so grateful for that. Of course, when I look at it, I see maybe the imperfections that are still there. I had another spot come up earlier this year that was, you know, just a little bit scary. And you know what's interesting? It's scary because now I know what I might be faced with. 2 years ago, I was pretty naive. I just thought I was going to go in and get this little spot scraped off. Now that I know what could happen, and I try not to live my life in fear, but I have a past cancer history, a different type of cancer I had when I was pregnant with my fourth son. And so just all of those combined make me probably a little more aware of maybe what could happen, you know, and that kind of thing. So right now, the other spot that I had earlier this year checked out and ended up just being fine, and they didn't have to do any type of invasive surgery. But I do see a dermatologist quite a bit. I go in every couple months and get full body checks of my moles that are changing. And, you know, it's funny, I've become quite a champion of just skincare health and how important it is. And, you know, I've been told through this process so many times that the reason that I'm probably dealing with this is the sunburns that I had in my youth. And so I've always been pretty diligent with sunscreen for my kids, but even more so now, just because all of this damage that I'm faced with now is just a result of, they say before you're 18, a lot of that skin cancer, you know, the precursor to skin cancer happens. So anyway, that's kind of it in a nutshell, but yeah. It's definitely been quite a process. And, you know, skin cancer, the type of skin cancer I have, the basal cell skin cancer, it's generally not deadly. It's not melanoma, which is a very dangerous and serious kind of skin cancer. And so I'm grateful for that. My doctors just feel as though, you know, the more types of skin cancer you have, like squamous or basal cell, those can be precursors to more serious forms. So they're just checking it out. If they catch it early, then I'll be in good shape.
Yeah, well, I'm glad everything has turned out as well as it has so far, and prayers for continued good health and good checks for you and everything.
Thank you.
But what did you notice? What did that initial spot look like? Like, what kinds of things are we looking for on our own bodies? Because I'm moly and freckly and things like that. And it's hard to keep track of things and know, well, does that look any different than it did 2 months ago? What did yours look like that was like a, okay, I need to go check it out?
Right. So that's a great question. So the spot on my back, which and ended up being a pre-melanoma spot, and they actually still are watching that spot because it could come back. That was a mole, and it basically like doubled in size within a few weeks, which is like a huge red flag. So if you're, you know, and I'm not a doctor, so, you know, there's obviously more risk factors to look for, but obviously I have a lot of moles too. And so I look for ones that the borders have become different, like irregular, or they've changed in color, or they've grown in size. The spot on my face, interestingly, it was tiny. It was like a little pinprick, maybe a little bit bigger than that, but it was on my my nose, and again, I mentioned it before, but it was right where you would get like a nose ring, mm-hmm. kind of in your nose, and it just never healed. So it was probably 2 months. You know, you're washing your face every day, you're putting on makeup, all that stuff. You notice those types of spots that you think, oh, maybe that's just a blemish, or is it, and it's not healing. But after a certain amount of time, I realized this is not, it's not like a, you know, a zit that hasn't gone away. Sure. So, and it's been so interesting for me after I posted on my blog about it, actually, and I described it like that. I said, it's like a sore that doesn't heal. That's how mine was.
Okay.
And I have been inundated with, I mean, I'm not even exaggerating, Jessica, hundreds, probably 200, a little more than that, of people who have, who read that and it triggered something like, really? Oh my gosh, I have a spot like that. And in a lot of those cases, they've gone in and it's checked out and been fine. In fact, my husband actually just went in for a spot, and I can't remember what it's called, but it's like an irregular, it's irregular cells, and it's not dangerous at all. It's not cancer. They really don't do anything with it. Sometimes they'll freeze it off or whatnot. And a lot of people have gone in and found that, but there have been so many people that have gone in and they've been diagnosed with the same type of cancer because of that. And so I think that's a good thing to look for, is that it's a spot that's not healing.
Okay.
It's like a scab. Not that it's oozing. It's not oozing, but it's just a spot that's not healing.
Okay. That's super helpful. That's really helpful. And what is your go-to sunscreen to use on yourself and your kids now?
Yeah. So I have a couple that I really like. The world is very divided in terms of sunscreen because of the health reasons, you know, the mineral-based versus the other ones. I tend to go, we have the Blue Lizard brand, which my kids use. And then there's a Think brand. And that one was actually just newly referred to me by someone who was reading my blog. We love both of those, and my kids use both of those most of the time. And probably Brian, my husband, too. I tend to use the Elta MD sunscreen for myself. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit pricier, but and I get it on Amazon, although you can get it at like an esthetician's shop, or even your dermatologist will carry it. And I love it. It's not greasy, so using it on your face doesn't feel icky. You know that sometimes when you put sunscreen all over, you end up feeling like a greased pig. It doesn't give you that type of feeling. So those are my, I would say those are the three that I keep on hand all the time. The Elta MD, the Blue Lizard, and then the Think, I think it's Think 50 or something.
Right. Okay. These are good. I'll link to everything in the show notes because it is so important. And I think at the very least, moisturizers these days that you can put on underneath your makeup oftentimes do have an SPF. Yes. And so if all things created equal, choose the one with the SPF.
Absolutely.
And I got recommended a Eucerin one that's an SPF 50. So it feels like I'm not even wearing sunscreen. And if I go out in the sun, I add sunscreen, but just for my day-to-day. But like driving in the glare, you're getting sun exposure all the time. So that's critical. Well, thanks for sharing that. And I'll link to everything you talked about in more detail in the show notes so people can follow that. But I'm glad that you're being vocal about it because it really can help save people a lot of trauma.
Yeah, I think so. I will say I've had to realize that you can take it too far.
Sure.
I feel like my worry personality, you know, that first year out of my Mohs surgery on my face, I literally I did not even want to go outside. The sun scared me. And I've kind of reached a place where I realized I have to live in it, right? I have kids. We are an extreme outdoor family, so we do a lot outdoors. And so I think me finding a way that I can live in it and embrace it without the fear of, you know, excessive sunburns. There's just a happy medium.
Sure.
I don't know if I'm making any sense, but I think you can take the extremes too far, never wearing sunscreen and then like never going outside because you don't want sun exposure. And I think everyone just has to find that happy medium for themselves. I think I'm finally there. It's taken me a little while, but.
That's great. Anyway. And hats are so fashionable these days. So
yes,
there you go.
Thank goodness, right?
Lots of options. I love that. Hey guys, I hope you're having fun catching up with Mel as much as I am. She's so delightful. We're going to get to our rapid fire questions in just a sec, but I wanted to thank our show sponsor, PrepDish. PrepDish is an online meal planning service for those nights when you feel like, well, what am I going to feed my kids? Or when you feel like you're in a rut of going through those fast food restaurants, PrepDish is your answer. Every single week, you get an email from Allison, the chef, who sends you a shopping list and recipes and instructions on how to prep your meals for 2 to 3 hours in advance so that on any given night, you just have to cook the food that you've already prepped. It's as easy as that. She's made it super simple for moms everywhere. I love that they also are very mindful of families with dietary restrictions, and they have paleo and gluten-free options as well. Allison is so kind, she wants to give Extraordinary Moms podcast listeners 2 weeks free trial. So if you go to prepdish.com/em, you can try out the service for absolutely free. You're a busy mom, you have a lot on your plate. Let PrepDish take the worry out of your weeknight dinners. So thanks, PrepDish, for sponsoring this podcast. And now let's get back to my conversation with Mel. All right. Well, I'm super glad to have you back on the show to hit you with these rapid fire questions. So you ready to get going?
I know, I'm kind of nervous, but go for it.
It's all good. You're gonna have really smart answers to everyone.
Oh, sure, yeah.
What is the square root? No, just kidding. Okay. Yeah. Okay. First.
Okay, like right then, my heart started beating fast,
like,
and I'm like,
stop.
If I Google the answer, will that
come out? Okay. No, you can phone a friend. Okay. What books or podcasts have you listened to or read recently that have really resonated with you?
Well, actually, I listened to the podcast you did with Lindsay from Pinch of Yum.
Oh, my gosh.
And I loved that one. That one was...
Wasn't that amazing?
Yeah, it really teared me up. And I've obviously followed her since her experience losing her baby. So that one was wonderful. And I don't listen to many other podcasts, but I've actually been reading some books recently about World War II in Italy, which was kind of has gotten lost. And so those ones have really... really been impactful for me. Just super interesting history there.
Awesome. Cool. Tell me a go-to meal for your family, like especially during the summer. Like, what are you making when you're home for in a pinch?
Yeah, we do a lot of like really quick like beans and rice on tortillas. Like I have a recipe, the Southwest crispy chicken wraps that you just griddle. So I'm not turning on the oven. So I would say that's probably our go-to. Something to do with like beans, rice, tortillas, Mexican smothered in like sour cream and salsa.
Bingo. And I've been grilling a lot of chicken, dicing it up, and then just tossing it in different sauces. So we'll do wraps 2 days in a row, but they'll taste different. Yeah. So I'll do buffalo one day, barbecue the next day.
Absolutely.
And it tastes different.
It's a brilliant way to do things.
Yeah, and it's all outside. I hate turning on my oven. That's good. Yeah. What is your favorite treat to sneak for yourself?
I have an open bag of bittersweet chocolate chips,
pure
deli in my pantry at all times,
oh.
And a few of those at multiple times of the day. I will not tell you how many. They soothe almost every wound a mother could have if you're me. So
I love that. That's so good. Okay, let's pretend you get in the car, you have no kids, you have no agenda. Where do you go?
Trader Joe's or Target.
Yeah. What's your favorite Trader Joe's purchase?
I could not even tell you because I love that place so much. But if I had to say, I would probably say, I don't even know. I can't tell you.
It's all good.
I have my list. I have a list on my phone, actually. This is really pathetic. It's in the notes of my phone. There's like 53 things on there. And when I go, I open it up and I just mentally check. I already have this. Don't need it. And if I don't, I pick it up. There's just things that I love there.
Just those staples. Yeah. I love it. And an easy... pre-done meal there in the frozen section is the orange chicken. Have you ever had that?
You know what? I haven't, but you know what my kids love there that's in the frozen meal section is their pot stickers.
Yes.
Like, literally, we eat those, I don't know, at least once a day, and I'm not even going to tell you whether or not they've been pulled out for breakfast.
That's
like,
amazing.
They are a favorite. Such a favorite.
I love that. I love that. I love things that are like halfway done for you and then you just got to finish it off. I like that.
Yeah. And I will say, I mean, with everything, I don't think everything at Trader Joe's is like uber healthy, but
like
what you get, and it's inexpensive for the most part. I feel like it's way better than some of the other things we can eat. So I'm totally fine with some of those semi-prepared meals.
Like, yes.
We totally embrace that.
I love it. Do you have a most embarrassing mom moment?
Oh, I have so many. I don't even know which one to pick. As a mom, I mean, I think honestly, like, probably my most embarrassing was when I had, like, my first child in the hospital and I put the diaper on backwards.
There you go.
And I think the nurses were like, you are not fit to go home. Like, I don't even know what you are thinking. So it was really embarrassing. And I don't know what I was thinking. I'm just going to blame it on, like, leftover epidural meds.
Absolutely. It's a medical haze. Absolutely. Yeah. I don't blame you for that. And it can only go up from there, right?
Right.
There you go.
Exactly. So you might as well start rock bottom. Then you'll be good.
Yes, exactly. Do you have a favorite place to shop for yourself, for, like, clothes and things, and then also for your kids?
Well, you know what? I really kind of embraced in the last little while is these online boutiques.
Yeah.
I've always been a pretty low maintenance clothes shopper in the sense that I'd rather hop on Zappos and like pick out a couple shirts and then it's free shipping, free return. So I'm definitely not a fashion blogger, as we can tell. I've never delved into that. But I really like the Lucy Avenue boutique. I've got some things from there and I really loved. For my kids, I have four boys and a girl, and we are like, we're pretty boring. We're all about like the Kohl's sales. Mm-hmm. And I will say that not yet has this happened. My kids don't care about clothes. So
that's nice.
Hand-me-downs are fine for them. And, you know, we'll go out and get like a couple new pairs of summer shorts at Kohl's or Target. But we have not, knock on wood, we have not ventured into the I must have name brand anything. So
that's
we're
nice.
Pretty low maintenance that way.
That's a good world. My 7-year-old exclusively wears soccer jerseys, and we live near an outlet near here, and so we're at the Adidas outlet like once a month.
Oh, yeah.
And he gets a new jersey, and he just wears
it. Yeah,
and
I will say that. So that's a good point. My boys, if you got them something that was Nike or Adidas because they think that's really cool, they
sure.
would probably wear it for the rest of forever until
right.
they're like 16.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
And if you have an outlet, then it becomes the same price as your Kohl's shirt almost. So
exactly.
It's good. It's a good resource. The outlets we have here are like a mile long. No joke. Like it runs
You're
from
it?
One exit to another on the freeway the entire length. Like you have to repark.
So do you enjoy shopping?
I do enjoy shopping when I'm by myself. With kids,
okay.
it's too exhausting. I don't
yeah.
like buckling and unbuckling
yeah.
17 times. So,
yeah.
But I like shopping. I do. I
yeah.
do. I enjoy perusing things. But I'm really liking the online boutiques as well. Another one
yeah.
you might want to check out is Fresh Market Threads.
Oh, really?
That's a really pretty one. Jessica K is also really pretty.
Nice.
And a lot of them carry similar things, but
yeah,
it's fun. It's fun to peruse those. Those are fun. I think I just said peruse twice in the last
That's okay.
10 seconds.
It's a really good word.
That's really
totally worthy.
I don't think I've ever used it in the last year, but here we go. okay, what cheers you up when life has you down?
I would say this sounds really cheesy, but my husband he's my best friend, and he is probably the one that if I'm in a funk or feeling, you know, just depressed or just discouraged, he's the one that can cheer me up. But outside of like a person, I would say like delving into a good book or like taking a hike, like somewhere outside in nature.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's, but I will say definitively it's getting away from like electronics and like disconnecting
mm-hmm.
is usually what it takes for me to kind of get a boost back up.
Yeah. I love that. I love that so much. And I bet it's really pretty out where you live.
It is. Yeah. It's a little deserty right now. We're like
mm.
in the hundreds, but
Gosh.
We're not too far from, you know, really pretty mountains and,
yeah.
and stuff like that.
That's awesome. What is your favorite item for under $10? So it can be a food item or it can be something reusable.
Well, this is not going to surprise anybody that's probably followed my blog, but I have a spoon that I love so much that I like nearly sleep with it under my pillow. And it's this silicone spoon that has like a metal core in it. And I will not even admit to you how many I have. And it's $9.99. And it is my favorite item ever.
Where do I get it?
You can get them. Well, so this is the sad part. The only place I've ever been able to find them, shockingly, they don't have them on Amazon. And in this day and age, I'm like, it's not on Amazon. Like, it's
Does it
hard
exist?
To even comprehend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they have them at the Harmon's grocery stores in Utah, which I don't live in Utah, but every
yeah.
time I go down there. And actually, I just connected with the company finally, and I'm like, listen, I talk about your spoon all the time. I'm super choosy who I work with. And so they're going to actually do a giveaway on my blog soon.
Oh.
Or on Instagram, just on Instagram for some of their products. But I told them, I'm like, I'm kind of an idiot about it. Like, I love them so much. Like, I'm so one-dimensional. You'd think that I would have, like, more hobbies, but these spoons are like my favorite thing ever. I keep actually a stash of them underneath my table in my office, and I like give them as like birthday gifts, and occasionally I'll just like open up a new one. 10 because, you know, I need 12 in my kitchen.
I love that. I love hearing what people are passionate about. That is amazing.
It's so dumb. So, I need to get new hobbies. But
no,
whatever.
I don't think you do. I don't think you do. I think that's amazing. That I'm going to follow along with that giveaway. So people need to follow you at Mel's Kitchen right. Cafe on Instagram so they can be in the know for that. That's amazing.
It'll be pretty fun.
I love that. Okay, and our last question is, what is an extraordinary mom to you?
I would say an extraordinary mom is someone who is realistic about their strengths and their shortcomings. Mm-hmm. They can acknowledge both, and they can be proud of the things they do well and be willing to try to seek for improvement. And then I also feel like it's a mom who, despite all of the challenges and things attacking us for our time, and that they put their family first. Mm-hmm. And I think in this day and age, it's hard to do that, and it's less fashionable to do that. But the extraordinary moms that I admire are ones who put aside how the world views them, and they have a really intrinsic sense of who they are. So that would be an extraordinary mom to me.
Yeah, I love that. Well, I think you fit that description very well, Mel.
Oh, I'm not sure about that.
I know from moment to moment. I mean, yesterday I'm like laying on the couch and I'm like, I have a mom podcast and I want to sell my kids. Like,
right.
We all do. Who am I? But that's just
and
reality.
How did I get here? I say this to myself all the time. Who am I and how did I get here?
Yes.
But I wouldn't trade it. I really
know.
Trade
Me
it.
Either. Me either. Mel, it's been so fun catching up. Thanks for coming back on the show today.
Thanks,
this has
Jessica.
Been delightful.
You are so sweet. I love every minute I have to talk to you.
So fun. Have an awesome day.
Thanks.
Mel is one of my most favorite people to chat with on the podcast. So if you are newer to the podcast and you haven't already listened, go back into the archives and hear her other episodes. And this is episode number 149, which is insane. So thanks, Mel, for taking the time to chat with me on the show today. We have an awesome episode for you next week. I'm so excited. It's with Crystal Payne. You might know her better as Money Saving Mom online, where she gives deals and coupon ideas and things like that. And I've really enjoyed following her online in the past year as she's been more open and vulnerable about her day-to-day life and things like that. And I think you're really going to love my conversation with Crystal. She was a delight to talk with, and I know you're going to love hearing more about her motherhood journey and her evolution, both as a person and as a mom. So thanks for tuning in today. If you don't already do so, you can follow me on Instagram at JessicaDahlquist3. Or on Facebook at Extraordinary Moms Podcast. And then everything we talked about in today's show and past shows is on our website at extraordinarymomspodcast.com. Make sure you're subscribed to the show on iTunes so you never miss an episode. And you guys, in all sincerity, it means so, so much to me when I see you sharing the show with people that you love. Knowing that the show is impacting you to the point where you want to share it with others, it literally warms my heart. You have no idea. So thank you for sharing the show. Like I say, I always do the show with the intent that if one person needs to hear this story, it's worth doing. But knowing that it has the potential to reach any person that might be in need of one of these moms' incredible stories on any given day, I am so honored to be able to create this platform for that purpose. So thank you for doing your part in sharing the show, and I'll do my part and keep putting out these amazing interviews with these amazing women. So thanks. Thank you so much. And if you haven't already left a review, you know I love it when you do that. Have an awesome day, everybody, and we'll see you next week for another episode with another extraordinary mom. Bye.